All right, so we're looking at these sources, and we're now taking these ideas and we're beginning to apply them to different ideas, and we're going to start looking at, well, once we know this context, how do we understand halacha, how do we understand Shabbat, how do we understand the meaning of Kedusha? We're going to take the basic terminology of Judaism and begin to see them within, you know, the context of these basic principles. So yesterday we started talking about, you know, what revelation is. Well, actually, we talked about what mitzvahs are 2 days ago, and then we talked yesterday about what is revelation? What does it mean to learn Torah? What is the authority of rabbis? All right, and there was this amazing piece from Rav Tzadok, where he asks, well, what does it mean, Naseh v'nishma? We will do and we will listen. How can you do without listening? And so, you know, Rav Tzadok says that they reach this level of knowing what to do on their own, which gives revelation at Sinai a little bit more of an experience of realization. Again, I'm not diminishing the revelatory side of it and the clarity of it, but whereby the normative way of understanding a revelation growing up, actually for most people, is Hashem's over there and he talks to us like I'm talking to you. You're over there, I'm over here, I talk to you, you hear what I have to say, okay? But what I have to say is still the voice of an alien. I mean, not an alien from a planet, but I mean, actually maybe I am, but an alien, someone that's not you, you know? But that's not what we mean when we talk about a revelation from Hashem. We're talking about nishmat and nishamot. We're talking about the soul of your soul. And the soul of your soul you share with the entire universe, okay? And if a person is tapped into themselves like Avram Avinu, deeply self-aware, then they have the potential to be receptive to revelatory information, all right? So based on that, I want to continue on with number 9. And I translate and make it a little easier. Hashem calls to a person every day. That's a big one. Hashem is always speaking to you. You thought maybe a couple thousand years ago, Hashem spoke to the Jewish people. Why doesn't he speak to me today? If he spoke to me today like he did thousands of years ago, maybe I'd be very different. Maybe I'd believe. Rav Tzadok is telling us that Hashem is always speaking to us. And that's what it means in Mishlei. I have called and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one has paid attention. Right? So in other words, it's not that Hashem isn't speaking to you. You're just not listening. That's the problem. You're not listening. But if you were, you would hear Hashem speaking to you. And he explains, well, what are these callings? The callings, these are thoughts. So now he's giving you an even more clear understanding of what it means to be called by God. You might not be getting a voice. You're getting thoughts. These thoughts are coming up in your head. These are thoughts yearning for God that spontaneously arise from the heart. In other words, when you have thoughts of yearning, a yearning for a higher connection, a yearning for a more important life, a yearning for a meaningful life, a yearning for a purposeful life, that's God speaking to you. That's called the voice of God. Now, that's not the only kind of voice of God, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he literally gets words. But those of us that aren't yet on the level of being so attuned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we get the words, then the message of Hashem is transmitted to us in thoughts. And when you get this noble thought to do good, that's Hashem speaking to you. You know, you walk down the street and suddenly you just get this thought, you know, I should call so-and-so. Huh? That's Hashem, so do it. Do it. You get a good thought, do it. Don't wait. Do it. Right? I should apologize. I do it. I should clean up. Do it. He said, but all these thoughts, these are thoughts yearning for God that spontaneously arise from the heart. And this is because God is calling to him. Hashem is calling to you. And these thoughts of yearning, right, is really the symptoms of your soul hearing God speaking. Actually, I didn't read it to the end. I forgot. The thoughts, he's not saying the thoughts are the calling of God. The thoughts is you're responding to the call. You are hearing something in your soul, and the reason, and you know you're hearing it because you are responding in this yearning way. Moshe, you had a question?
Yeah. How do you differentiate between instinct and yearning thoughts?
Don't have to. As long as it's positive, as long as one is yearning, whether you call it instinct or thought, the point is, are you yearning for a higher life? Are you yearning for a more substantive life, for a more meaningful life, for a life that is devoted to serving goodness?
Then how do you differentiate between things that you consider like the Yetzer Hara that like come up to you, like, oh, I should, like, I, like,
mean, I don't know, is it good?
Well, no, probably.
Most of them is the Yetzer Hara, so there you go.
I mean, there are gray areas, which, like, sometimes you think, well, you have to make a decision. And so which
well, give me a gray area that you're thinking about. I know you probably don't have you those, but imagine somebody else having them.
I mean, I'm on the spot. There's a, like, you see, I don't know if you see, a person that you think that's saying something really, really bad, and you just want to chastise them right there and then. Like, that's an instinct. Like, that's your thing. Like, oh, I should go up to them and stop. But the better thing for you would be to just, like...
Oh, okay. Well, but I don't know if that's called... You have to ask yourself, is this a yearning... To be in service of God. That's what you always have to ask yourself. Or is this really a desire to feel better about myself because I made that guy feel bad about himself? Oh, so that's not a yearning. But those are the kinds of questions you should ask. You should just know the key to your life is asking the right questions. A lot of people are asking the wrong questions. And the first question you should ask are, what are the right questions? Okay? But you have to ask yourself questions. Question yourself. Question your motives, right? Do I want to rebuke that guy because I genuinely care about him? And it's coming from a place of love? Or I genuinely care about me and it's coming from a place of anger and hate? Well, if it's coming from a place of anger and hate, then that's not the voice. You're not responding to a call of God at that moment. Right? But I want you to get used to hearing God in your life. Most people, they don't even know they can hear God in their life, right? But when you get that little premonition, that little conscience, that little tiny inkling to do good, that's Hashem speaking to you through you. When you suddenly get this desire to make your life better, to live a more wholesome life, you're responding to a call of God. Otherwise, why did you suddenly feel that way? You know? Rabbi Nachman of Breslov was witnessed walking the street and stopping suddenly. And people said, well, they asked the Rebbe, what are you doing? He would just walk and suddenly he'd just stop and stand there. He said, when you get a moment of tshuva, grab it. Grab it. And so if you just have a moment of a thought of doing tshuva, right, don't just keep doing what you were doing. Like, let it land. Let it set roots. And that's what he would do. In the middle of the street, he'd just stop and stand there and just allow that thought of tshuva to penetrate him. You know? And here's a pasuk from Devarim. It's a pasuk. This is not Kabbalah. These words the Lord said to all of you together on the mountain, out of the heart of the fire, out of the cloud in the dark, with a great voice, and he did not stop. It's a pasuk. Velo yasaf. The Torah says that Hashem never stopped talking. Right? So people think that the revelation at Sinai was a one-time deal. No, Hashem did not stop talking. Sinai is broadcasting, or to be more correct, Godcasting, all the time. All the time. You just haven't, you're not receptive. You're just not aligning yourself. And you actually say this every day in Shema. V'hayayim shemoa tishmu'u el mitzvotai asher anochi mitzave etchem hayom. What is that pasuk actually saying? And it shall be, if you listen, you will hear the commandment I'm commanding you today. What is that pasuk saying? Hashem is commanding you a commandment today. But what do you need to do to get reception? How do you tune your neshama to hear the voice and get the guidance of the neshama of neshama? What do you got to do? It says they're right in the verse. V'haya im shemoa, and it shall be if you listen, you will hear. Listen to what? What do you need to listen to in order to then hear? We say it every day in the Shema. It's just fact. Unfortunate thing is we don't pay attention to what we're saying. In other words, what are the 613 commandments? They're like 613 on your dial, right? That's what you do. You tune into 613, and then you get unlimited streaming music, you know, commercial free, you know. Actually, it's not. But that's what happens. That's what happens. So when you live the mitzvahs, if you will hearken to what I've already told you to do, then you will be receptive and capable of hearing what I'm going to tell you to do today. And you should know that the Arizal of Isaac Luria had this incredible ability to see on his student's forehead a pasuk. Every day, he said, there's a pasuk on your forehead. And he would teach them the secret of that pasuk, only half the secret. And then by the next morning, they would know the other half of the secret. Right? There's a pasuk on everybody's forehead. I can see it too, but I don't get paid enough, so I'm not going to tell you. But imagine that. You got this little, you know, it's like pasuk every day on your forehead. And that pasuk is the pasuk you have to live today. You think Torah is something you learn today. Torah is something you live today. Torah is not something you're supposed to store in your brain. Torah is something you're supposed to embody with your entire life. You live God. The class, as I've told you before, isn't about understanding God. You never will understand God. Only I will. I'm just joking, right? You will never understand God. I don't understand God. The goal of all this is to, as best as possible, live God into the world. And to live God into the world means to live his wisdom, to live his vision, to live his values. Right? That's what it means to live with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And the entire Torah is to live with Anochi Hashem Elokecha consciousness. And so, again, this is not Chassidus. This is a pasuk. Now, the Sfat Emet, the Ger Rebbe says like this, B'chol yom mitorer zeh hakol Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Every single day, the voice Anochi Hashem Elokecha awakens every single day. That's why it says, Anochi mitzavcha hayom. I command you today. Anochi da'aseret ha'dibrot. The same Anochi that you have met, the same I am that you met at the revelation at Sinai, is talking to you every single day. And that's what I want you to stand. If someone says, well, what is Judaism about? Like, why do you do this? Right? I'm committed to a life of profound self-awareness. I'm committed to a life that celebrates the significance of myself and yourself as part of a shared self that transcends time and space. Now, whether they understand you or not, they will think you're taking drugs. Now, whether they understand you or not, they will say, well, that's intriguing. That's provocative. Because everybody wants a life that matters. But a lot of people have given up and don't think anything matters. And that's really sad. And that's why so many people are so broken. Because they've come to believe their life doesn't matter. I mean, how could it matter? What am I? I'm just a speck of dust. You know, what am I? I'm dust of the wind. What am I? But when you realize your ray of Anochi, your ray of one God, you're not God. And you live the will, the vision, the values of divinity into the world. That's what it means to live a Torah life. And that's when Torah calls life, you know. When it's about a connection to Hashem. But when it's about being a religious robot, or when it's about obeying God to keep him off your back so he doesn't hurt you, then you are bowing down to an alien God. And you've turned Hashem into a Avodah Zarah. Right? That you think it's about being obedient and saying, yes, sir, right? And trying to avoid his wrath. And with that kind of attitude, it's going to be hard to feel joy in your Judaism. And I don't think you'll succeed in giving it to your kids either, you know. But when it's about self-affirmation, self-verification, when it's a deep celebration of self-awareness and being so attuned to my inner higher self, whoa, that's a whole different life. Look at number 7. This is the Bala Tanya. Actually, you know what? This might be Rav Tzadok. He actually has a book also called Likutei Amarim. But the Tanya is also called Likutei Amarim, so I'm not sure. Mitzad Yichud Hayot Ani Hashem, number 11. From the standpoint of the oneness of Ani Hashem Shochem B'toch B'nei Yisrael, when it comes to the oneness, the I am God dwells within the people. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Libam Shel Yisrael Be'emet. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu is the heart of the Jewish people. Listen to your heart. But your real heart, the heart you share with Am Yisrael, that's listening to God. Now again, it says, Al tatu achrei levavchem achrei nechem. Don't go after your heart. That's a different, you've got a fake connection to your heart. But when it says, Libam shel Yisrael, but when your heart is Klal Yisrael, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu is at the heart of the people. And he says, Ve'enam devar nifrad mimeno, and they are not something separate from God. Klal, at all. Heim nekrim gam kem b'shmo shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're even referred to by the name of God. Just like my finger doesn't have its own name, my finger is also David Aaron. Right? So too, the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu, the name of Hashem, is on all of us. That's why it says, Kishei B'Shem Nikra Alecha, because it's the pasuk. The name of God is upon you. What does it mean, the name of God is upon me? And the same thing with putting on your tefillin. The name of God is upon you. What does it mean the name of God is upon you? You know, I can't remember. I told you a story about Kirk Douglas and the tefillin. I'll tell you that. All right. So I was, so generally when I would go to Los Angeles and I would learn with Kirk Douglas, he would come to the hotel, pick me up out front of the hotel. We would go to his home and we would study for 5 hours. But one day I get out of the elevator and I hear this mob in the lobby. And I don't know what's going on. And I realize it must be some famous personality because everybody was like crowding around somebody trying to get an autograph. And I realize it was Kirk Douglas and that I must have been late or he was early, I don't know, but he walked into the lobby. Now, if you're a tourist and you're in Los Angeles, then you are out for star seeing, you know. You want a star sight, not just sightseeing, but star seeing. So here comes this legendary actor into the lobby, and everybody freaked, and we're trying to get his autograph. and I saw the receptionist, and she was like a football player. She just like mowed down everybody, and she took the first thing she could, which was a napkin, right? And she asked him, and I saw this. She said, "Mr. Douglas, can I get your autograph?" She gave him a Kleenex, right, to sign, because it was the only piece of paper that she could get really quickly. So he graciously signed her Kleenex, and she was so excited that she sneezed into it. But anyways, that's not true. I bought it on eBay. So I just saw how people were just so starstruck to have his signature, his autograph, you know? I personally loved his autograph on checks, but nothing. So when we got into the car, I looked at him. I said, "No, Kirk, now I understand tefillin." And he said, "What?" I said, "Now I get it. Now I understand tefillin." He said, What are you talking about?" I said, "What I just saw, that's what tefillin is about." He said, What are you talking about?" I said, "Kirk, do you know what you're doing when you're putting on tefillin? You're actually writing God's name on your body. You're literally being asked by God to autograph his masterpiece. Because you, Kirk, are a masterpiece, a piece of the master. And he asks you every day to, on his behalf, autograph." And he looked at me and he said, "You say the darndest things. Let's get out of here." You know? The point is, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, the name of Hashem is on you. Because Einod Milvado, there's nothing but a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Ephes Zulatecha, there's nothing but a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I'm not a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you're not a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But there's nothing but the sun. There isn't the sun and his rays. The rays have no independent existence. The rays are also referred to as the sun, or at least a part of the sun. They don't have an independent name. So that's what's being said over here. And so, continues to say like this, Gamke, number 11, Gamke b'shmo shel Kadosh Baruch Hu kitam ani sh'ani medaber, kishenavi medaber b'shem Hashem, b'loshim medaber ba'ado, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu shochen b'kerev libo, v'dibro mamash, v'eino dvar nifrad. When the prophet says, "I am God," he's not quoting God, he's channeling God. When he says, "I am God," it's not the prophet talking anymore. The "I am" is talking through their mouth, right? That's what this is referring to. Look at number 12. This is really powerful. Rav Tzadok, Shemati, I heard, I got tradition. Dekolat d'matan Torah haynu mipiyot b'nei Yisrael. That the voice at Sinai came through the mouth of the Jewish people. Because a voice is nothing but the five types of vocalizations of the mouth. And it says in Shiri Shirim that my soul came out in its word. That what happened at Sinai is that the soul became engendered, re-embraced within Hashem, umitzad kol koach nefesh yatzah kol, and outside and through every soul came a voice, a special voice, lo to koach, connected to that very power, shuhu makir amitot Hashem yitbarach umityached bo shalzehu kol matan Torah. You'll read it carefully on your own. What he's saying is most people heard the voice of God the same time I heard the voice of God. When you saw the Ten Commandments. And the voice of God was this loud, booming voice that probably sounded like an Englishman, because God is obviously from England. But that's not what Rav Tzadok is telling us. Rav Tzadok is telling us that the voice of God sounded like your voice. That what happened at Sinai is we didn't hear a voice from a distance coming to us. We heard a voice talking through us. We heard a voice talking through us. I've had that experience a little bit, because there are times where people ask me a question and I don't have an answer, and foolishly I begin to offer an answer, and an answer comes out of my mouth, and I'm just watching this answer come out of my mouth, and people say, wow, and I go, yeah, wow, yeah, yeah, well, yeah, I knew that before, you know, I mean, like, where did that come from? You just kind of observe a truth that comes out of you, right? Did. They heard a voice, just like you're hearing your voice. You're not hearing your voice right now?
No, I am, but you said it's from themselves.
Like, no, it's not from themselves. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is our inner, higher, greater, ultimate, eternal self, spoke through them, and they heard Hashem, so to speak, used their voice and spoke to them, through them, and they heard the voice of God as it came out of their mouth. That's a very different image of Sinai than most people. Most people think we were sitting there, standing there, and we heard a rock concert, you know? We heard voices coming, a voice come towards us. Rav Tzadik was saying that the tradition he was given is not that way, but that the voice, and look, he'll say the same thing in the next piece. So look at the next piece. Ani shamati debesinai ha dibur mamash. That at Sinai, it literally was a speech. Which was through the mouth, the vocalizations of the mouth of Israel. And this is obvious and true. That's the same thing with every nevuah. God was speaking through the Navi, through his voice. The Navi was channeling. He wasn't just listening. He was channeling. Okay? They heard the voice of God, and that means, so to speak, and in other words, through their own speaking, and you really need to have a lot of yira to be worthy of God speaking through you. And hearing the voice of God emerging. And that's what it says. It said the Shekhinah spoke through the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Yeah.
What you were saying before about how, you have to, if you channel, if you listen to that conscience that is the will of God, right? And then you have to, act on it as long as it's good. Then what would happen if, I mean, isn't that kind of like what Islamic radicalists are doing?
But we said that your measuring stick is Torah. Vahayayim shamoa tishma'u. You have to be completely aligned already with Torah saying to be able to get the latest prophetic directive, which will not contradict Torah.
Yeah, but if they go according to the Quran and they interpret the Quran as killing people, then that's the same thing.
No, it's not at all the same thing. That's the difference. The Yetzer Hara is a ventriloquist. He speaks and sounds just like God, right? So you have to understand that you think it's good, and it's not good. And the question is, what's your source of goodness? That's why we have to bring it all back to Sinai. Was there a moment where downloaded into the world was the truth? And in there's also the seven mitzvah b'nei Noach. And if you go around killing people in the name of God, I'm sorry, even no matter how many times you say, God told me to do it, that's your Yetzer Hara, pretending to be God.
That's all dependent on the revelation of Sinai.
Yes. That's right. Without that, we're in trouble. I mean, unless we can find some reference point for God consciousness, then anybody could say anything and do anything and say it's in the name of God, and they have. And that's why God is very dangerous, you know. There's a book called, you know, For God's Sake, which is all about all the murders throughout history in the name of God and how many people have been killed by God because of God in the name of religion. So, yeah, religion is potentially an incredibly dangerous thing. Hearing the voice of God is a potentially dangerous thing. And that's why, v'hayayim shema tishma'u. How do you know you're actually listening? How do you know that what you're getting, well, first of all, does it contradict anything, any halacha? Does it contradict any fundamental principle of faith that we've been given? If not, then go with it, right? Now look at this one. I'll get to you in a second, okay? U'misayem ekev lo tishmu bekol. So it says over there that this will happen to you because you didn't listen to the voice. V'kol Hashem haynu kolot de matan Torah. Whenever it says kol Hashem, it's referring to the kolot, the voices, or the sounds at Sinai. D'kol da Torah shebichtav, ki kolot Hashem yitbarach hem chayim v'kayimim la'ad v'olmeyamim. The voices of God are alive and sustaining forever. Kolot gam hayom mitzuyim l'mi sherotze lazmin. The voice of Torah is available to anybody today that wants to listen. V'heim heim ha-machshavot olim b'leiv kol achad b'chol pam l'shuv l'Hashem yitbarach. And that voice is every time you have this premonition, this inclination to come back to God, that's God speaking to you. That's called the voice of God. So if a person says, well, I've never heard the voice of God. Well, because nobody else would define for you the voice of God. The voice of God comes in various manifestations. And one manifestation, which continues today, is that arousal to do tshuva. Right? That's Hashem speaking to you. Okay, so you have a question. Yeah. Sorry.
So I've heard before, and I assume this is a medrash, that when Hashem spoke at Sinai, it was very powerful, and that, like,
their souls jumped out of their bodies.
Right, and like people died from that, right?
Yes.
Physically. And then Moshe took over, right? So was the experience of their own voice too powerful for people?
Yeah, because it's an amazing question. Thank you so much. Because, yes, what happened is, you see, we haven't talked about this yet. This body is a bit of a problem. I'm lucky because mine is smaller than most people's, right? But you with the tall bodies, I don't know, right? Because your body is basically telling you that you exist in a sack of skin and that you're not connected to a greater self, that you're not connected to anybody in this room. That's what's problematic about our bodies. So when they encountered the one self, the great self, the one soul, the one God, that totally overwhelmed the experience that they dropped their bodies because their bodies are testifying against that experience. So they jumped, they left their bodies and they died, right? But it says that angels pushed their souls back into their bodies because there's a reason why you're in a body, which we haven't really talked about yet, right? What am I doing in this body? Because this body is saying everything against everything I've been teaching here. I've been teaching Reb Tzadok, Hasidus has been teaching. My body is telling me that I'm independent, self-defined, self-sufficient. I am not connected to any power greater than myself. This is me. I'm in here. You're in there. And there is no connection. That's what our body is deluding us into thinking. So that's what happened at Sinai. When they met the one and the body was communicating, there's just absolute plurality and disconnect. So they left their body consciousness and they didn't perceive body anymore. Right? Thanks. That was a great question. So one last source. In the next week, we're going to do a whole new source sheet. V'kol Yisrael yeshlem chelik l'olam abad. It says that every Jew has a portion, a part to the world to come. Haindum b'mamke levavam hane'alam she'eino b'yitgalut klal afilo l'adam atzmo shushorsh nishmat tam chelek elokam yim'al. In other words, what does it mean that you have a chelek l'olam haba? It means that deep in your heart, deep in the unconscious, it's not revealed yet, right, even to the person themselves, is their soul is a part of God. And that's what it means, that you all have a part of Olam Haba. Means you have a part in realizing and achieving this consciousness of Einod Mavado, because that's what Olam Haba is. Go to the next bold. V'uachelik lo Olam Haba she'esh l'kol Yisrael afilu chotim. And this is what it means, chelik lo Olam Haba, is that you're connected to God. And even a sinner still has that connection because he's a soul. She'kol ha'chata'im hu rak mitzad ha'chom avit galut ba'olam hazeh. The only reason why you're sinning is because of the delusion of the way you see things through the eyes of this world. V'lo mitzad omek in the shema, but it's not from the depth of your soul, which is pure, which is concealed in this world, and will be revealed in the next world. In other words, what will be revealed in the next world? Your deepest sense of self. That's what will be revealed in the next world. Right. Now, right now, we're looking at the world through the glasses of this world, which is giving off this confused sense that we are separate from each other and separate from God, and there's some kind of conflict and tension between us all. And we're all alien to each other and to Hashem, ultimately. And go to the next bold. Kederach shamru atidim Yisrael shikru b'shmo shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, haynu shitkalalu b'mekoram. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, in the future, you will be referred to as God. You'll be called God. Right? Not that you will think you're God, but just like my finger is called David Aaron, although he's not all of David Aaron, but he doesn't have a separate name, he doesn't have an independent name. Why will that be? Because he says, Yitkalalu b'mekoram, they will be gathered back into their source. It'll be like the rays of light, right, in reverse motion, you know, like the movie running backwards, right? And you just, and in many ways, history is like a tree growing backwards. It's like, imagine a tree that's actually growing back into its roots. That's really the direction of history. But that direction is a story of consciousness. It's already a reality, but the story of consciousness is, imagine yourself as this little leaf on a tree that has millions of leaves, and the leaf is being reabsorbed into the twig, which is being reabsorbed back into the branch, which is being reabsorbed back into the trunk, which is being reabsorbed back into the root, which is reabsorbed back into this tiny little seed. Did you ever think about that? You see a huge tree and realize that that huge tree came out of a seed yay big. Right? People just don't think about those things. But when you do, you live in awe. You know. So that's what history is. History is really a tree growing back to its seed, going back to the one. And that's where all of history is moving. It's moving towards the one. Yeah.
So in history or in time, is there an end game? Like, is there a moment where you can only, like, where history stops? Because at the moment, if a tree grows back, eventually it's going to get to the seed. At that point, it stops.
No, because the seed came from another seed, which goes back to another seed. No, this story never ends. So you better enjoy the journey. Because there isn't an ending to the story. There is no happy ending. There's a happy journey. Right? And the way you make it a happy journey is stop being in a rush to get to the ending. And that's what Shabbos is about. Shabbos is to get you to stop rushing to get to some ending and realize, live life fully today. U'bacharta b'chayim. Choose life today. Okay? So it's about serving Hashem now. Where will it take me to the future? That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonos. That's his department. My department is serve here now. Right? Be a conduit for divine wisdom, divine love, compassion, truth, integrity, peace. Right? And be yourself. And that to me was the big surprise when I started learning these teachings. I never thought that Judaism basically is saying to be yourself. Actually, that was just the opposite. I thought that the goal of Torah life is to not be yourself, to forget about yourself. Right? And here actually these teachings are telling us, no, the goal is to be yourself, but your true self. And your true self is part of the greater self that you share with all of mankind. The ultimate self, the Enochi Hashem Elokecha. All right, I'll hang out and answer questions if you have.